Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to About the House. Hey, you know, we've been doing this for several years now, and I always used to say this, and we're going to start saying this automatically all the time now, because About the House truly is a full audio and video. Of course, when we first started, it was just audio only, but audio and video library on everything that you ever need to know about your house. We actually are a university of knowledge that you can come to for no cost whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I usually always pay for these shows so as that we literally don't have sponsors that would influence on what I'm saying. So, hey, I don't have a dog in this fight, and I just want to bring you folks the facts and the truth. And that's kind of where we're at with this show today. But I wanted to share this with you a little bit before we get started. I know a lot of you folks already know me. I'm Troy Galloway. I own Galloway Building Services. But we also have just started, last year, a Construction Consumer Advocacy Institute. And what this is just teaching people, and it's a lot of great and free information to educate people on everything about their house, everything about their home. A lot of times we just do a lot. I know, because I'm a construction geek and I'm a builder, so I bore you to death with doors and windows and insulation. But that's why today's show, I wanted to kind of add some wonderful flavor and something that I've been talking about for a long time. And I'll talk about my book here. This is a fabulous book. This book right here can literally save you and has saved people thousands and thousands of dollars. And at the end of the program, I will actually talk more about how you can get a free copy of this book. So stay tuned with that. But anyway, let me jump in here. I want to talk to, we're getting ready to introduce a good friend of mine, Rick Brown. And Rick, he has one of these jobs that he's bringing here. And we've had mortgage people before. Rick is actually reverse mortgage, and there has been so much misinformation, including myself. I own several properties, and I really didn't know about a lot of these things. And how he could, if you got to listen to this show all the way through, because what he's got to tell you today, it'll blow your mind. It's going to just, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to shut up and just get right to it. Rick, thank you for coming here today. Appreciate you, sir.
My pleasure, Troy.
And hey, let me ask you real quick, Rick. How was it that even made you get involved in reverse mortgages? Because it sounds like something that's an uphill climb, for educating people.
Oh, it is, and we're still climbing. And really, over 20 years ago, I owned a firm, a consulting firm. I have electrical engineering degree. Worked for utilities a lot, but various changes in laws and how they ran their business. The consulting business pretty well dried up rather quickly in the early 2000s. And I had a friend who was actually into the mortgage business, not the reverse mortgage business, but the mortgage business. And he tried to coerce me into trying that out. So I did a little bit. I may have done a couple of, quote, forward mortgages. Didn't really enjoy that. But then I noticed this thing called reverse mortgage. And I got to looking into that. I thought, wait a second, I have been enjoying conversations with seniors on their front porches or somewhere else for since I was 20. I don't know why, but I've always enjoyed that. And I thought, this is the perfect job. I might even get paid for talking to seniors, which I really, really enjoy. And so that's how I fell into it. And I didn't really know much about it. I've learned a lot, especially in the first couple of years. I will say this, as trying to inform people about this, it took me 2 months when I first started to even get any kind of a clue of how the doggone thing worked. So I have an emphasis on education, more on sales. Mm-hmm. I'd probably make more money if I was more of a salesman, but I'm really an educator. And I'm just passionate about that. And a lot of seniors over the years probably have refinanced their mortgages 4 or 5 times, so that's kind of boring. And I don't want to insult loan officers. There's still a lot of complications with that. The reverse mortgage is different. It's just plain different. Mm-hmm. Seniors have never seen anything like this. And hopefully when we get through this this program today, other folks are going to say, I didn't know that's what it did. Anyway, as I tell people a lot, this is not brain surgery. And the proof of that is that I understand it.
Well, hey, now, and you started this, what, 20 years ago?
22, maybe. I can't remember exactly. It was early in the 2000s.
So who's that young man right there?
That's a guy that's about 15 or 18 years younger than me.
So,
I have some good stories to tell about what some seniors have said comparing me to the picture. But we
we'll
won't
get
take
that
time.
At the another yeah, time. But that's I had to tease.
No, I know. That's okay. It's a good topic of conversation. By the way, my voice, for whatever reason, makes me sound a lot younger than I am. Do you agree?
Are you going to help me with my reverse mortgage? Then I agree.
There you go. No, I've had people as young as 35 when they're just hearing me on the phone.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why my voice is young. I never smoked. That probably helps.
Yeah, I bet.
But I always want to tell them, maybe we talked for a while, and I say, before we hang up, I just want to tell you one thing. I said, guess at my age, and then they'll guess, because I want them to know that I'm one of them.
Yeah, right.
I'm older than you, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're 29 and a half.
That's right, at least.
It's all right for old people to lie.
Oh, speaking of old people, maybe I should do this before I forget. My company, University Bank out of Michigan, has required that we read this disclosure. And I have to do that. And I understand it's in the program notes, whatever they are. But you know, I'm old. And so it was in fine print. So I enlarged it a little bit. But let's just get that over, if that's okay.
Okay, please.
It says, University Bank, Reverse Mortgage Division, Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS 715685, 2015 Washtenaw Avenue, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48104. And then there's a website, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. And by the NMLS, that's the National Mortgage Licensing Service or something like that. So this is an official thing. Member, FDIC, that operates in various states. For a complete list of the states University Bank can operate in, please visit https://www.university-bank.com/licensing.
So what that would be right here?
Pardon me? Let's take a look here. Let's see if you're right.
Yeah.
No, that's not it. We'll get to that.
I just want to make sure people can see it
All right, let's see, where was I? This is not a commitment to lend or an offer for a rate lock agreement. All mortgage transactions are subject to verification of application information, satisfying all underwriting conditions and requirements. Restrictions apply.
Good. So we're now legal.
We're legal.
All right.
So part of the reason, you know, I've been passionate about this for a long time, for several reasons. You just said one of them. I mean, these have been around since 1989.
You know, and I did not realize that either. They've been around for a long time.
I didn't either until the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't very popular. In the first decade, they became a little more popular. There were some TV ads and a bunch of stuff like that. Tom Selleck, you remember him?
Yeah, yeah, you know Tom, don't you?
Yeah, right. I like him.
He's all over TV, but he that's a different group altogether than you, right? I mean,
well, yeah, he's just a hired hand. I mean, he knows nothing really about reverse mortgage, regardless of what he says. But he's a good image guy.
Yeah.
I like him.
I like him too.
He's a cool guy. Anyway, here's my educational emphasis. This is for kind of three main groups. One is seniors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to visit them, if I can go to their house. Now, since COVID, I'm licensed in 47 states, so I've done a lot of Zoom message things. And I kind of learned how to do them. So I still prefer going to people's houses and kitchen tables.
Me too.
But I never, and I'm assuming that everything I say that I do is done by most loan officers, especially reverse mortgage loan officers, again, because they owe it to their customers. But what I like to do is meet with them for a couple hours at their kitchen table. And again, explain it to them because they have no idea what it is and learn about them. So usually, minimum, what I tell them, we have to talk for at least 2 hours. So if it's late in the afternoon and you're going to fall asleep, let's do it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't get up till 11, let's do it in the afternoon, whatever. And then during the 2 hours, we actually do talk a little bit about reverse mortgage. But we also talk about their needs. Mm-hmm. Because that's why I never take an application the first day. Because number one, there's so many sub-options, as I'll try to explain today, that they need to know what they are. And I need to find out what the heck it is they had in mind, what their problems are, what they're trying to solve. And then kind of start putting that together. And maybe even the next time I don't have an application, I'll go back to their house. I've gone to people's houses 6-7 times. And you really get to know them. It's kind of funny sometimes. I'll get a call 18 months later and I'll say, this is Joe Schwartz. You did a reverse mortgage for me. Do you remember? I said, of course I remember you. I went to your house 7 times. I don't say that to them, but that's what I'm thinking. But there's another reason that I like to. When we get done with this, if I like my performance, which is going to be partly dependent on you, I'm going to send it to everybody. I mean, financial planners, I'm going to send them the link, realtors that I know, and family and friends. Because even my family and friends, I know, are still suspicious. As long as I've been doing this, I think they're still like, I don't know, that thing that Rick's into, you know? So that's important to me. It's important to me to realtors, because although they can have, you can use a reverse mortgage as a purchase loan since 2009, most realtors either don't know that or don't want to know it.
So explain that real quick. Let's back up, because this is, so you're telling me that I can go buy a house instead of getting a, and I don't have to get a conventional loan. I can just go get straight, go get this type of loan right now.
Yeah, you know, that's part of more what I'm going to go into more later. So let's, we won't draw that up. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then, especially financial planners have, a lot of them these days have a fiduciary responsibility, which, by the way, I can't claim that I have, because that's misleading.
Right.
If you have a fiduciary responsibility, you are absolutely required to be, you know, work for the benefit of the borrowers. I'm just a lowly loan officer. I don't know all the things that financial planners and realtors know, and I never pretend that I am one. And I, believe me, as you might expect, people have said, well, do you think we should buy a house now, or do you think that's a good present, a good deal, or do you think I should get rid of the annuity? I say, I am not going to answer that. And if you ever hear me talking like an attorney or a realtor or a financial planner, you need to slap me upside the head, because that's illegal.
So that's a good advice, folks, if you get somebody sitting at your kitchen table trying to sell you something, and they're doing the, just the opposite of what he's telling you, that should be a warning sign.
And I don't, by the way, I also don't want those people to try and educate people about reverse mortgages, because they don't understand them either.
No, and they're not caring about the people.
So anyway, that's kind of my philosophies and my, how I sort of got here.
Well, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this thing.
All right, here's what I'd like to do, Troy, if this is okay with you.
All right.
In realizing that we're going to lose some people, at least during this original presentation, when they first turn it on, you know, the phone rings.
Well, you're hanging in here because they want to know about how to get that book for free.
But if for some reason I want to do what they follow, kind of the newspaper approach. You want the news to be in the first two paragraphs, because that's all most people read in the newspaper. Okay.
What's that? The newspaper.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, whatever, mind. Let's stay out of that.
Just teasing. Just teasing.
So what I'd like you to do, Troy.
Okay.
I've given you some questions to ask me. You can skip over a couple, because we just answered them. Okay. And I was trying to make this a lightning round. I'm trying to answer it in 15, 20 seconds and go into it in greater depth later on. But at least if somebody drops off in 5-10 minutes from now, they at least heard at least the statement that's not pretty,
or if we run out of time.
Exactly.
Because when two old guys get together, we, you know, a couple, 2 or 3 hours at the kitchen table.
Yeah. This is
so let me ask, I've already asked you, when a senior gets a reverse mortgage, who, that's a great one. You know, this is one that I asked you once before when we first, you know, I first interviewed about the show when we, I mean, I knew you before that, but before we interviewed. And the senior, so does a senior on a reverse mortgage, who owns the home? Now, you answered that already to me. But tell the folks, so the bank owns the home? Because honestly, it feels like the bank owns the home when I do a regular mortgage.
And before I got into this, you know, in the 90s, and maybe heard a little bit about it, that's exactly what I thought. What else could it be? But it's not the case. It never has been the case since 1989, when it first started. The seniors always own the home themselves. They can sell it. They can remodel. They can do anything they want. And you know, when they die, just like with their regular mortgage, if somebody dies and they've got a mortgage, it gets paid off. You know, the heirs do what they need to do, and they sell it. I mean, but once you get to that point, it's just like a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And when somebody tries to buy a house, the title company goes, you know, checks, is there some liens? Oh yeah, there's this reverse mortgage. They call the reverse mortgage company, say, what would they need to pay if we close on the 15th of next month? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what they do with reverse mortgage. And some people, I even say, you have a mortgage now? Yeah. Who owns the house? Well, the bank. I said, do they? Do they shovel the snow? Do they clean the gutters? Can you fire them and refi? Yeah. yeah, to the last question, no to the shoveling. They must not own it, right? Oh, okay, all right. So that's, I'm trying to convince them. It's, I don't know where the idea ever came from, but boy, that's the one we just can't seem to get rid of. It's never been true.
Yeah, and I don't know where that idea came from either, but that's a one that I always wondered about because I'm not the only one.
That's a great question.
Okay, well, for the second one, I thought you told me it was possible, though unusual, that after a few years, a reverse mortgage could be upside down.
You know what that
means. If that happens, who makes up the shortfall of the settlement time? Explain to the folks first what upside down means for those who don't, and then if the second, I know it's a two-phase
sure.
question. So
right, and being upside down in the mortgage business means that the loan balance is greater than the value of the house.
Okay.
As I'll explain later, and maybe this is, a lot of people seem to know this, reverse mortgages do not have required monthly mortgage payments. Folks are still required to keep taxes paid on time and keep it insured and maintain it to a certain extent. They don't have to remodel the kitchen, but they got to fix the hole in the roof. And that's true for all mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
But since they don't have to make monthly mortgage payments, they do have to settle up the loan at the end. You know, they borrowed money and the interest is accrued. More interest accrues when you don't make monthly mortgage payments. You can make them, but you don't have to. So the loan gets bigger every day. And all reverse mortgages are actually designed so that they don't go upside down within the expected lifetime of the borrower. And I'll tell you more about that as we go.
Okay.
But they can. They can. So it's conceivable that after 23 years, and I've spoken to a couple of folks that got them back in the first decade of this year, that for whatever reason, son of a gun, it's upside down.
You explained to me about the upside down for the people out at, Palestine, Indiana, or something.
Well, that's
like
a different. That's part of the reason. Let me pick up on that in a few minutes in a different
okay,
thing.
Okay.
But yes, that's definitely upside down. Well, that's right. But that's kind of unusual.
That's different. We hope.
But just it could be upside down because the loan balance got bigger, and maybe in 2008 and 2009, the house value went down.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's maybe built up, but maybe it didn't quite catch up with the loan. So here it is, settlement time. And settlement time, by the way, is when the last borrower leaves the house permanently. So now there's a $50,000 shortfall. And I always ask my customers, so who pays for that?
Yeah, who makes up that shortfall?
Well, their first answer is, us, the kids, the heirs? No. Okay, what's your next choice? The bank? No, because if the bank would face that possibility, or if the heirs might face that possibility, who would do this? So what comes to the rescue is an FHA mortgage insurance fund into which every single borrower contributes as part of the closing costs, which is something I'll get into a little bit later when we talk about expense.
So it's government guaranteed that it will not go upside down. Is that what you're saying?
No, it can go upside down, but if it is...
But it doesn't punish the borrower.
The FHA mortgage insurance comes to the rescue and pays the bank. It's the bank who needs to get paid.
So the bank don't get hurt, and the person doesn't get hurt as long as it's done
right.
Because it went upside down because of no fault of your own.
Exactly.
Okay, that's great.
Well, it's important because if that weren't true, there would be no reverse mortgage, I promise
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
Or wow. I wouldn't get involved.
Yeah. So that answers that real good. I mean, that's really good. And now, in what ways can seniors get access to the reverse mortgage cash? Like in a lump sum, monthly checks? What are the different options? And
yeah.
I always thought
my
it was just only
is,
at the end, so
answer,
I didn't even know.
My answer to that is yes.
Explain.
There are three different ways that borrowers can access their money, and at different times too. They can get a lump sum at closing.
Mm-hmm.
They can get, I want a guaranteed monthly check every month. Or I'd like to do neither of those things and leave it in a thing called a line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get into that a whole lot more in the
a
next 5 or 10
credit.
Minutes.
Okay.
I'll explain that in great detail because that's the heart of the benefit and what really makes reverse mortgages cool.
Okay, well, we'll drill into that one then,
because oh, sure.
that
sure.
that one really piques my interest. All right, so I think that takes, and is it true that reverse mortgages are only appropriate for seniors in dire straits?
I'm gonna say no, because there's a lot of seniors in great shape now,
mm-hmm.
but they could find themselves in dire straits 15 or 20 years down the road when certain things happen to them that happen to a lot of seniors.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so in a sense, folks in dire straits now, like we can't pay the mortgage, and if we don't pay the mortgage, we're gonna lose the house. Well, we're gonna have to sell the house. That's the best thing we can do to avoid that. Well, a reverse mortgage can help you avoid that. So that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But there are things down the road that could put seniors in great shape now in not such great shape. So we'll get into that.
Like health, it just goes on and on.
Stock market, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. So some heirs complain that there are no equity left for them when their parents get the reverse mortgage. And of course, you know, a lot of us really do want to pass our, you know, when that's why we get upset when the government wants to take, you know, taxes to death, because we're trying to build up something to pass on to the children. So, I mean, does that, what happens with them?
Well,
if they, do they just, if they don't have any equity, they're in trouble?
If I hear the heirs complain that there's not going to be equity, my first thought, and I say it to myself, is, you jerks.
Well, yeah.
You turkeys. Don't worry about your folks. Quit worrying about yourself. But that's a side issue.
I agree, but that's...
But here's what a lot of folks... If somebody gets a reverse mortgage, and let's say that in that particular case, they eliminate a forward mortgage and all the payments, well, at the end of the time, maybe... And they don't make any payments to the reverse mortgage, so now it's got a pretty good balance, and there's not a whole lot of equity. What they do have is their checkbook balance is a lot bigger because they didn't have to write all those checks. Does that make sense?
No.
If they get it, if they have a forward mortgage, they're writing checks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that depletes their checking account every month.
Oh. If so that money's sitting over there in the account.
Well, it could be. I mean, they probably spent it. Oh. But the point is, it's the same difference whether they spend it or not. They don't have to pay it. So when you think of it, okay. In fact, I've heard people say, my own life insurance guy says, my folks said, would you rather have the house or your life insurance proceeds? He said, I want the life insurance. I don't want to deal with the house.
Yeah.
I've had one customer in particular, a couple guys called, and everything was looking good for a reverse mortgage. And they said, now at the end, you own the house and you're going to sell it, right? And I said, no, actually you own the house. So they backed out. The whole reason they wanted to do the reverse mortgage is so they wouldn't have the trouble of having to sell the house, mm-hmm. which is kind of nuts. And I keep telling people that. If there's a balance, if the house is worth more when it's settlement time, sell the house. You get more. You get the money. You get mm-hmm. if the house is worth $300,000 and the loan's $150,000, sell the house, mm-hmm. pay off the $150,000, and you walk away with the $150,000. Mm-hmm. Don't walk away. I've had people say I'd rather walk away, and in a way I can don't blame them because, you know, selling a house is a pain in the neck, especially if you're in a different state.
Yeah, right. You know, some of our loans out there are assumable loans. Are any of these assumable?
Nope.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's clear because we're starting to, the assumables are coming back.
Yeah.
In some of the different mortgages, and that's a different animal. So no assumables. So
that's correct. Okay. And I'll explain why.
Which
don't
only
me,
makes sense.
Don't let me forget that. See if you can tell me. I want to tell you something. See if that's why it's not assumable.
Yeah.
And if you don't tell me, I'm a.
Okay.
Well,
we get there.
I'll tell
that,
you.
Because I know we got a whole lot of information to get in a short time here.
That's right.
So I don't want to get bogged because we can always do another show. Absolutely. So let's do this next one here. Kind of reverse. And I think you answered this already.
Yeah,
kind of reverse mortgages be used to purchase loans? So meaning that if I want to buy a house. And I could, instead of just getting a conventional loan, I can actually get a reverse mortgage loan.
That's right.
Now, is that, and because they're FHA, you know, does that add extra load to the getting the, okay, just make it short. Does it make it more hassle to it? Because we all know sometimes doing FHA loans and the house has got to be approved for this or that or VA. Does that affect us any in that manner?
Not really. In fact, most of the time these days, we're like my company and the company I was with before, we could close them in like a month. Now, realtors are scared, which is one of the reasons I want to talk to realtors. So if somebody comes to me and says, we really talked to this guy or whoever guy they're talking to, and he wants to get a reverse mortgage. Well, no, I am not going to encourage you to get a reverse mortgage. They're evil. Mm-hmm. I'm not ever going to be the one. And besides, I never know how to do that. And actually, the process is quite clean.
Now, are reverse mortgages only for people that are going to occupy the home?
Yes.
Okay, so as an investor, I can't do a whole bunch of reverse mortgages and then have this cash flow coming in.
No, but if you had a $1 million house, it could free up, you know, $500,000 mm-hmm. on your current house. Mm-hmm. It gives you $500,000 right. to work with to do those things that you do.
So I could take that money and then turn around, take that money and reinvest it into real estate.
And if you're not...
If I'm an investor.
Yeah, and if you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I would never tell a senior to think about doing that, especially myself. Ask my wife. I can't do anything. But even if you're not an investor, you just want a second home. Mm-hmm. You can take that money in a second and, you know, help the down payment and the whole purchase of the second home. But the reverse mortgage, you have to live in the house at least half the year.
And a lot of us, which I really hate calling myself a senior, but I'm there. But I know a lot of us in my generation, we'll say that. Hey, I like that. That sounds younger.
There you go.
Yeah. But actually, we try to help our children. And then that would help the children. Your own children, you get the reverse mortgage, you could help them get a house.
Exactly. I'm glad you pointed that out. That's exactly true.
Yeah, because instead of taking it out of my 401k or taking it out of what's feeding me and giving me, that's a genius.
And since you said that, I like to use the term advance inheritance, which that could be, uh-huh. or it could be other things, helping pay tuition for, you know, private school or college or whatever, mm-hmm. anything you want.
Do reverse mortgage applicants, they have credit or income requirement limitations or limitations? Of course, it's your question, so you know the answer to that. But mortgage applicants have credit or income requirements or limitations? I would think so, right?
They do.
Until
2015, they did not. And it was almost a joke.
Really?
Yeah. They could have 200 credit scores. And by the way, we don't use credit scores, but I mean, they could really be bad credit. And we didn't really check it. We checked for bankruptcies. That's pretty much it until about 2015, even though we talked about it for years. And the reason we did is because, I'm getting ahead of myself, for too many times, too many seniors, and one is too many, so the exact number I don't know, would take too much of their proceeds too soon, which they don't have to do. And now, number one, the loan built up faster and longer, and in some cases they said, wow, we got $127,000 in the checking account, and it kind of got carried away, and then, you know, 3 years later it was gone.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
And that was a problem. So we managed to fix that by putting, largely, it's been pretty successful, by putting certain requirements in, which I won't get into details.
When was that was changed?
2015.
2015. Well, that would only make sense after we had the crash, you know, and we had a lot of that out there.
Oh, yeah.
And for fun folks like myself, we did made a lot of money off that. Not the reverse mortgages, but of that.
Whatever, sure.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's a fabulous. This is a great question. And this is one I wanted to ask, and you already beat me to it. Are there adjustable and fixed rate versions?
Yes.
And explain that. What's that mean?
I'll explain more as we go.
Okay.
But for various reasons, most people, and by the way, I'm only talking today about the adjustable rate.
Okay.
Fixed rate is pretty easy. It's pretty boring. Hmm. But most people are not getting the fixed rate for reasons I'll explain.
Okay.
And that line of credit we talked about before, that's huge. And that's only available with the adjustable rate.
Oh.
So we'll get into this some more as we go on.
Awesome. Okay. So what kinds of homes are eligible? I know you have to be occupied. You've got to occupy because you've answered that already. But what is there any kind of mobile homes or prefab homes, which are, you know, two different, or 3D homes or any of that with the new printing of, anyway.
That's oh, 3D. Are they doing that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not learned enough about it to even talk about. But nevertheless,
okay, well,
there's all kinds of different homes out there.
Well, there's kind of four kinds we talk about. Regular single family homes, mm-hmm. single family residences, including, a lot of these are being built. What do you call a two-story thing? Townhouses and villas, that sort of
condos.
Thing, connected. Condos can, but they have to be FHA approved, which is becoming increasingly difficult for various reasons. I want to get into that. So condos, when somebody says condo, I start to say, uh-oh, this conversation may be over soon.
Okay.
I won't get into all those details. So we can do, we even do 1 to 4 unit properties, as long as a senior lives in one of the properties. And they can rent the other four, or the three rather. And manufactured homes, we can do them. There are a lot of restrictions. They got to be built before 76 and a whole bunch of other things. So they're easier than condos probably, but not as easy as just a plain old single family home.
Okay.
Those are the main kind. Or they have cooperatives up in New York. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what those are. But they've been talked about for years and say, no. I heard recently that cooperatives might be able to be covered, but again, I don't even know what they are.
What if I bought a duplex, because mm-hmm. I own some duplexes, and can I get a reverse mortgage on a whole building, even though I only live on one side?
If you own it, you can get it on both sides. It's just like the 1 to 4. Mm-hmm. But here, think about this. You can actually, in a lot of these villas that are built now, you can live in a villa where the Joneses live in unit 1, and you live, and they own it, mm-hmm. just unit 1. and you own and live in unit two. That's possible. Does that make sense?
Well, okay, but if I have a duplex and I'm renting the other side out, can I still?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow. That's great.
That's one of the few commercial kind of things. You know, you can't have big commercial operations, and you can't have for instance, condos. If somebody lives in a condo and it's otherwise approvable, but more than X percent of the building is commercial, you know, down on the first floor in New York or whatever, it's a no-go.
Okay. So that's perfect explanation. That's a great opportunity. All right. So I keep hearing that reverse mortgages are expensive. You know, what do you, is that, are they?
I mean, well, let me
where's
say
the, this, where's the expense at?
I'm going to sound like a salesman when I say this. I'm going to say this. Expensive is in the mind of the beholder.
Yeah.
Okay. They are more expensive than forward mortgages because they have this thing called mortgage insurance, which basically is 2% of the appraised value on a $600,000 house. That's $3,000. Oh, no, it's $12,000.
But that's not uncommon with other types of loans either, is it?
Not quite that big, though. But the thing is, two things about that. One is, what that's for is that insurance I told you about.
Right.
That pays off the shortfall later on, okay? But beyond that, I'm hoping that when we get through this today, if we ever get through it today, maybe it'll be tomorrow, you have to say to yourself, okay, so it costs this. What do I get out of it? And my job today, and my job with everybody, is to say, here's what you get out of it. Is it worth it? Uh-huh. And I personally think it is, but that's up to the senior. So.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's I know that really wasn't too lightning round, but really, we hit on some great things.
Yeah, and again, if somebody has to drop off, maybe come back later.
Yeah, well, that's a great thing about what we can do. They can always come back whatever minute it is. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that about the podcast, too. You know, it makes it so much, makes it easier for us so we get sidetracked or a phone call.
I'll say one more thing that I probably should put on that list. Basic borrower requirements. At least one borrower has to be 62.
Okay. Oh, young.
A spouse can be 18.
Oh, yeah. Lucky.
Yeah, right. I hope I never run into one of those.
Oh.
At least one borrower has to be 62. It has to be primary residence. We already said that. They have to have sufficient equity. By that I mean, as I'll just describe in a few minutes, on every reverse mortgage, a certain amount of house, there's a house value, there's an age of the borrower, and there's a rate, there's an interest kind of rate. And that kind of determines how much is made available. Well, if they have a forward mortgage, that amount that's made available had better be at least equal to are better than what they owe on the forward mortgage.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. If it's not, then the deal's off, or they have to bring the extra money. Now, if they have to bring $82,000, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But what if they have to bring $5,000, and the monthly payments they're paying now are $1,250 a month? Well, if they could somehow figure a way to get their hands on $5,000 and bring it to closing, we can do the deal. And now they just have to somehow or other repay the $5,000 that they stole from their 401k or something. Mm-hmm. And after 4 months, it's like they have no monthly mortgage payments.
Well, when we start reaching that age, we got to start taking our money out of there anyway.
That's part of the deal, too.
So, I mean, that we can make it happen. I see multiple ways that they can make that happen.
So I guess we ought to, let's see, anything else I have in my own notes that I want to talk about. Later on, if we have time, kind of related to some of the questions we talked about before. I looked at my own records and wrote down about 6 homes that I worked with in the last year. And when I tell you the values, you're going to say, really? And also, last year was full of interesting cases. And again, if we have time, and I'm not sure we will.
Well, if we don't, and if you're willing to come back, we'll do part two.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, because there's just I know you're just like I am. We really want to make sure that the people understand fully what's happening, and it's better to get it, take our time and explain.
So now we're going to get into the PowerPoint, and I'm warning folks that I've been known to kind of blubber and just drone on sometime, and if I do, it's Troy's fault.
Okay, I'll take that responsibility.
He's got to liven things up. He's got to ask a question. I'm going to ask him some questions, too. So let me...
Hang on, folks. I'm going to get my sharp pen going here.
Oh. All right. Let's just get started on this PowerPoint.
All right.
I'm going to go back up here. Let's see. This is just... I started this this PowerPoint. I actually made it for financial planners and presented to the Financial Planning Association last year. But I've changed it. And I'll show you why in a couple things. Well, I should tell you right now. First of all, as you and anybody sees this PowerPoint, you will notice that I am not a PowerPoint expert. Anybody that is probably going to choke on how I did this. And it's a fine. In fact, I've even got one slide in here. It's really, really amateur. I'm apologizing for it right now when I get there.
All mine are, so right. I'm good. I wouldn't know the difference.
So anyway, I revised this one for a couple of reasons. You know, we had that disclosure. We in this profession have to be very careful that we don't lead potential borrowers astray and say, this is going to be great. When I first started this, there were people, in fact, a guy that got me into the business, he made a flyer that said about reverse mortgages, free money. And he showed a picture of a tree and a person standing and the money was coming down. That's absolutely against the rules. We cannot mislead anybody. And if you think I'm misleading anybody, you need to challenge me. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best to make sure that I'm not saying that there are some numbers that I show you, they're not your numbers. I promise you, they're not your numbers. Mm-hmm. They're old, there's somebody else, different value, different age, different everything.
Well, we just tell them that when we get
it's
there.
It's just concepts, okay? Anyway, so here's an important definition. I'm going to use the word HECM, H-E-C-M, throughout this process. That'll probably save us 10 minutes instead of me having you say reverse mortgages
okay.
every day.
Oh, okay.
HECM stands for Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, which is the official FHA HUD term for their version, which is by far the biggest one, like 95% or more of reverse mortgages are the HECM. It's the dominant one. There are some of the lenders have what they call proprietary reverse mortgages. We're not talking about them. They were mainly designed for bigger, much higher value houses.
Okay.
So, all right, let's see, keep going here. What else do I say? Issues addressed in this presentation, there are lots of uses. Why HECM should be put in place as soon as seniors turn 62? One famous financial planner says that's good. If we have time, we'll get to that.
Okay.
For seniors, HELOC, do you know what a HELOC is?
No, please tell us.
It's a home equity line of credit. People can get them. You can get in the bank. They advertise them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, get approved for $40,000. You have a line of credit. You can tap whenever you feel like it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That kind of hits on that.
Not for seniors, though. But it's much greater to have a reverse mortgage.
Right. Well, no. I'm talking about the line of credit.
Well,
I understand what you're saying. Oh. Right. That's what we talked about earlier, the line of credit for, if you want to help my children get a new home.
But the reverse mortgage line of credit is a whole lot cooler than the HELOC.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
All right. Good.
The FHA guarantees some things that I'll be kind of explaining to you. And if you're really getting into this, you're going to say, how is that possible? Because the only funds they have to use are that mortgage insurance fund. They don't use other taxpayer dollars. In fact, I have a feeling that mortgage insurance premium sometimes pays for other things, if you know what I mean.
Kind of like our Social Security does.
Kind of. I'm not sure about that.
I am.
A list of potential borrower requirements. We kind of talked about that a minute ago. List of HECM senior candidates. We'll talk about that at a time. Many highly regarded financial planners think they're cool. They want to have this thing in their toolboxes, and in my opinion, they should. Mm-hmm. Annuities and 401ks and this and this and this. And they ought to have it, number 17, reverse mortgages. In my own opinion, if they're a fiduciary, if they really are thinking of the seniors, they need to take a look at that. Mm-hmm. It may not be the answer all the time, won't be the answer all the time, but it needs to be in their toolbox. There's a limit on the amount that a senior can take early on. That was put in place 5 or 6 years ago. And the reason for that was that, again, too many seniors were taking too much too soon. And this slowed it down, and it also pretty well killed the fixed rate. And I'll explain later if we get that far. Rate adjustments are similar reverse mortgages to regular forward adjustable rate mortgages. What's the story behind non-borrowing spouses? You can have a non-borrowing spouse. The main reason for that is that they're under 62 because you can't be on a loan if you're under 62.
Like an 18-year-old that you said.
Yeah, that's right. Or more likely a 59-year-old. And I will say, by the way, if somebody comes to me and says, well, my spouse is 60 and a half years old, I'm 62. Should we do this? I'll say, not unless you really, really, really need to do it. You need to really wait a year and a half because that spouse can get beyond the loan and can live there, by the way, till age 150, as long as she's a surviving spouse, keeps it insured, pays the taxes.
That was one of my questions, so that was good.
But if there's things like line of credit and stuff I haven't explained yet, she just has no access to that because she's not a borrower. But she can stay in the house. So that's why I would say, don't get it for a year and a half unless you just gotta. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let's see. HECMs might work in gray divorces. I've got one to show you about that if we have time. And that's a little bit more about the fixed. Let's keep going here. I'll shut up. And here I just said, adjustable and fixed rates, they're both available, but for reasons I'll sort of explain as we get through it, the fixed rate is not very popular.
Right, you said that.
Even though that's what people say, that's what I want. Well, maybe you don't. Brief overview, HECMs are loans that relieve some equity, not all, but some equity, based on age and so on, so that they don't go upside down, in various ways. Remember I told you about the three ways, at various times. You could take lump sum and then don't take a monthly payment at all, but after a while say, I want a monthly payment. And then if you take a monthly payment, you say, we don't need that, let's put it back in the line of credit. Anytime you want. It's really a flexible, it's unbelievable that way. HECM borrowers always own their home. And they can't be displaced from them unless they become bad homeowners. And by that I mean they don't pay their taxes timely. They don't keep it insured. And they don't maintain it. The third one, I don't even know how they do it, but the lenders know immediately if somebody didn't pay their taxes.
Yeah, they sure do.
And also if they don't keep it insured.
Yeah.
Okay, and that worries us a lot because that's the security. I mean, the lenders would like to have a house if something happens. If it burns down, there's no insurance, they have nothing. Uh-huh. If it's sold on the courthouse steps after 3 years of no payment, they have nothing. So we're pretty strict about that. The only payment ever required for a HECM loan is when they leave the home. So some people say, oh, so I never have to pay the loan. Yes, you do. When it's time to settle, when settlement time is when the last borrower leaves, it has to be paid. There's a balance, maybe a couple $100,000, maybe more than that.
You said last borrower leaves, but if I have a spouse, they can still stay in the home.
That's correct. We call HECMs non-recourse loans, which means that if the loan is upside down, meaning if the loan balance is greater than the value of the house,
right?
Neither the heirs, no, the borrowers themselves, if they're choosing to leave, they're still alive, nor the trust or anybody else has to make up that difference, and neither do the banks. Because if either one of those parties might be stuck with this kind of thing, there would be no reverse mortgage. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame them, but I wouldn't be trying to teach people about them.
Right.
What comes to the rescue is an FHA mortgage insurance fund into which every borrower contributes as part of a closing cost and actually an ongoing element too. Mm-hmm. So it's an insurance policy. It doesn't come from tax dollars that saves. Saves the folks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Minimum age of borrowers is 62. A non-borrowing spouse could be as young as 18. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, so if I'm a old, dirty old man, I could get me a little hot little 18-year-old girl, and she'd have her house till, if we married, she'd be able to stay in there until she dies.
Well, unless she lives past age 150. At age 150, we got to call it due.
Well, and after being an old man, I don't think I
care. You don't care. That's right. All right, let's see what else we got here. What's next? I'm just mostly going to go. This one here.
This looks like a good one, right?
And
here.
The next one are the heart and soul of reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Not very sexy, as I showed here. And later on, I'm going to do what I failed to do in part one, which was one of your questions. But the question that you asked me that I had given you was, they're kind of costly, I understand. Mm-hmm. And my answer to you was, my job, they cost more than forward mortgages because they have that mortgage insurance premium. But if some folks are really in dire straits, this is another question you raised, let's almost forget the cost. We just have to, they have to go ahead with it. If it doesn't, that doesn't seem to be the case. And I've had some people just call me and say, oh, it's too expensive. Goodbye. I did a poor job then of explaining to them the benefits I'm going to try to explain here and didn't get to very much very quickly in part one. I hope I do a better job of that.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so anyway, here's how it kind of works. You get an appraised value done by a real live licensed FHA appraiser that we hire, not the customer, whatever that is. We multiply that times a thing called the HUD factor, which is a giant chart. I'll just show you just for a second. That's what it looks like. That tells us for a given age and a given rate, there's a factor, 0.286, 0.936, or not 90, that's too high, but fingers like that. You multiply that times that appraised value, that gives us what we call the principal limit. Okay, so we're working down from the appraised value to what the borrower can actually use. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple subtractions. The first one is costs and fees. Okay, I'm not going to get into the numbers. That then we subtract them, and that equals what we call the net principal limit. Okay, not there yet though. There could be some other subtractions, like what we call mandatory obligations, which would be a mortgage that's in place, certain other liens, a thing called a LISA, life expectancy set aside, which is kind of like a what's the word we're looking for, escrow.
This is usually for folks with bad credit. We'll talk about that later. And it's an enforced escrow.
Okay.
It's an option for others, but anyway, so that equals the, if you subtract that, all those things, we get down to what's available funds for the borrower use. And this is where we start to see the flexibility. Whatever those, that number is divided between a lump sum at closing, guaranteed monthly payments to borrower for life or other period, or a thing called a growing line of credit, which is really the heart and soul of what makes reverse mortgages cool. And I'll show you some examples. Actually, I'm going to try and just show you one. Let's come down here. Let's see. Let's go right there. And again, this is kind of hard to see. Hopefully, the folks can see it on this big screen. I'm reminded to tell you, the bigger you can see this, the bigger the screen, the better off you'll be.
Well, especially for us that are old enough that we're thinking about this.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm struggling to see that, to lean forward. Okay, so this is, in fact, I can't show you, but the forms that we are required to show and have customers sign eventually are terrible forms. There are three columns, and I did just a while ago. I counted, there's like 34 different lines.
Wow.
And I've been trying to explain them for, well, probably 15 years before I tried to do this. Because I've been doing this for 22 years. And I just hate that form. And I finally came up with this. And this isn't the first version. This is kind of several years ago, and I'm still using it. But I should point something out. You see blue and red here at the top? This reminds me to remind you that all of the numbers I'm showing you here and the whole rest of this presentation are not necessarily typical. They are not appropriate for you, the viewer, because the age could be different, the rate could be different, everything could be different. So everybody's unique.
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's a good point, that everybody's unique, because that way, folks, just because he says something today, that's why you need to contact him. Or know the questions be asked, because your situation maybe have better opportunities than what you're explaining.
That's right. Oh, it may not be as lucrative. It may be better.
Yeah, probably better.
Well, I don't even say that. We don't know. We've got to look at every single one.
I don't have a license. I can say it.
That's right. You can. So anyways, any of the numbers, they're not indicative of the situation, of anybody's individual situation. All right. So here we go. This is the follows kind of what that little chart we showed a few minutes ago, the various forms.
Right.
Oh, we start off with the appraised value right there. This is I didn't even say the person's age, because I didn't want somebody to say, oh, that's our age. Mm-hmm. So this is probably going to apply to us exactly. No, that's why I didn't do that. I don't know. I didn't remember what the age was. Anyway, we got an appraised value of $300,000. The head chart I showed you says we multiply that by 0.375. That gets us down to $112,500. We subtract the closing costs, $13,500, of which $6,000 is going to the FHA for that fund.
Okay. Well, it's because you were going to bore the crap out of the people with the numbers here. We'll talk about the net principal, kind of go through it like that without the numbers. People will blow their mind and they'll just turn us off.
Well, yeah, but there are a couple numbers I do want to show you. So we got a number there.
Okay.
In this particular case, we are not paying off any mortgages. Mm-hmm. We could be. Could be somebody else we're paying off mortgage.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Okay,
yeah.
We get a number there, and that's the potential that they have to do something with.
Okay.
Before we did that, those three things at the bottom on the previous slide.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they could choose some of folks. I did $20,000 for a car quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. We'll subtract that. That means you subtract that from the number above. If you don't do that, it's zero. They could say, we need a certain amount of a monthly payment for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it is. I say, okay, to do that, we have to subtract X from that number up there. And anything we haven't subtracted, we get, in this case, I showed no subtractions, and we got a number right there, which is not all that critical. But do keep that number in mind, 99,000.
Okay.
You'll see how it comes back into play a little bit later.
Okay.
But what I want to show you, and this is really, really important, it's the line of credit. It's, you know, it's what you have available to you that you haven't used yet. It's just like other lines of credit, okay? But it grows by contract, not by stock market, not by interest rates or anything like that, not the value of the house.
So a guaranteed, what you're saying.
That's
it's
right.
It's a guaranteed advance.
Guaranteed to grow. Okay. With just one minor restriction I won't even get to right now. I'll tell people later. But anyway, I just wanted to look at those numbers. After 25 years, if they haven't tapped it, it has grown to $426,000.
From 99.
Yeah.
So, that's a quadruple.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you know how much of that they owe?
Zero.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But you know how much they could have in their checking account 5 business days after they ask for it? $426,000.
Oh.
It's really cool. Don't use it. Don't need it. Good for you. But if you need it, you got it.
Awesome.
Okay, that's really important. That's almost the heart and soul, as you'll see some other ways, of the reverse mortgage. That makes it really cool. What else do I want to show you? Okay, so we've got that. Now I'm trying to show you, get into what I said a few minutes ago about what do I get? You know, I'm not in dire straits. I don't even have a mortgage. What do I get?
That's a good question.
Because, I mean, I would ask it, what do I want to pay you $13,000 for? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to show you some stuff, and then you have to decide whether it's worth $13,000, all right? So what if after it's put in place, the home value does not appreciate as expected? And when I say expected, it's FHA, in their formula for those proceeds that they give you, they assume 4% annually of your house appreciation. Where I live, you know where it is, over the last 30 years, it's appreciated 1%.
Really?
Yeah. Where you live, I'll bet it's 5 or 6. But it doesn't make a difference. It's always 4%. Mm-hmm. The number is always based on 4%. So what happens if that doesn't happen? Okay, I got a graphic here that the listeners can't see. But this, if it doesn't go down, let me try it this way.
It's appreciation, home appreciation this, rate
right.
chart.
This part of the chart shows what happens if the 4% does happen. Mm-hmm. And you can see, folks that are listening to it, it shows a nice growth on the value of the house. And it's quite a bit more than the line of credit, but there's a number there. And I don't know what the number is. It doesn't make a difference because we're looking at concepts. But what happens if that it only happens to 1%? And you might say, well, that's never going to happen.
Wow.
And I'll give you about 4 things that it might.
Well, I know it can.
Palestine, Ohio, recently in the news.
That's a good one.
Flint, Michigan. What else did I write down?
Well, there are a couple of good ones I think everybody knows.
Yeah. If anybody from Missouri, Times Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think most of us, the rest of the world probably don't. I don't even know how many people around here know about Times Beach anymore.
I know, a lot of them could be gone. It's 30 years ago or so. How about Maui?
Oh, yeah.
So it happens. Yeah. But other things too, and more people can remember this. Remember 2006 to 2008, 2009, what happened to house values?
Yeah.
Well, the second part of this chart shows that the house didn't appreciate. It's much smaller than what it showed for the 4%. Troy, tell me. What's the difference in the lines of credit between those two?
Yeah, well, it looks like they're just like you said.
They're exactly the same. Mm-hmm. That appreciation, the actual appreciation, had no effect. The stock market, nothing. The only thing that affects, that makes a line of credit get reduced is somebody actually takes some.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't care about, if the rate goes down, that slows down the growth, but it doesn't subtract a penny from the line of credit that you've already accumulated, okay?
That's good to know if I have some, like a spouse in a nursing home or I got
we'll get into it. What do you see the numbers later on?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even showing all the numbers, but I show you the numbers.
Right.
Okay, what if instead, because it's an adjustable rate, a terrible adjustable rate that keeps people awake, right? Mm-hmm. What if it goes up 3%? Right away, and it averages that for a long time.
And you and I lived in a world where we saw interest rates double digits.
Oh, yeah. Let's not talk about what's happening now, but we were back when it was 13%, 18%. I think my first one 38 years ago was 13%.
Wow.
Okay, so anyway, here I have another graphic here, and all this one shows is that the loan gets bigger faster, so does the line of credit.
So this is a 3% increase of monthly interest rate. What this chart is.
Like the first month after they put the thing in place, it jumps up to 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? Well, it makes the loan bigger, but it also makes the line of credit bigger. And this is looking at 15 years, a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind as I show you a few slides down the road.
Okay.
In fact, here's one. Let's see what I got here. Oh, this one's even more graphic. If you look here, you see that the line of credit after 20 years is more than the value of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, that's 5 business away from your checking account if you call the lender and say, hey, shoot that over to my checking account. Mm-hmm. Now you've got that amount in your checking account, but you have an upside down house.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you care, right? Because
it's a reverse mortgage.
And the shortfall is paid by the FHA. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen. But I will say that 15 years is pretty close. You know, you subtract that loan from there and you take off 6% or whatever they're going to do these days for the, that probably is about equal. So this here between starting at 15 years, if the interest rate jumps up, the line of credit is bigger than the value of the house. Mm-hmm. I think that's worth, that might be worth your cost, your closing cost, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Again, it's up to the folks. Okay, now I want to jump ahead a little bit. Okay, here we go. Ask the question, why might senior borrowers use a line of credit? Some of these answers will surprise you. Things like they can avoid excessive withdrawals from portfolios during market downturns, which is a terrible thing to do. And instead, you take it from the line of credit. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're lucky, you replace it a couple years later. You can replace lost income from a deceased spouse. Last year alone, I had three different widows, not widowers, but widowers that were in that situation. Mm. Tough. You can fund long-term care expenses. We're all going to have some, probably some of us a ton. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to take care of that without having to sell your house, without having to decimate your, you know, puny or maybe not so puny 401ks and so on. And that's what the financial planners say they should do. You could delay commencement of Social Security benefits. You hear that talked about on the radio all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Here's one you don't think about too much. Rescue collapsing life or long-term care insurance policies. Somebody maybe has a long-term care. They were smart or maybe not. I don't know. But they've had a long-term care policy. They've been paying $5,000 a year for 23 years. And that's what, $115,000. But mm-hmm. now it's getting tight. One thing, the rates might be higher than they were because they get to. And now it's getting really tough to afford it.
That it is.
So what do they do? And I just talked to a customer last week. They canceled it after spending all that money.
It happens all the time.
It's a shame. Get a reverse mortgage, and now you can afford it.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So that's another one people don't think about, and nobody thinks about, really. You can fund tax payments for Roth conversions. Financial planners know about that. Others probably do. I'm not going to dwell on it. You can do home modifications to facilitate aging in place. Things like making the bathroom a whole lot bigger.
Yeah,
we don't think about that.
Yeah, well, and but we do all the time, you know, with the seniors, and we have to change out our bathrooms. We have to change out our, I mean, maybe even a ramp to even get into. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, there's a ton of things.
Because they may love where they're staying, where they are, mm-hmm. but they really can't live there.
No, they got to have it. That's a great, that's fabulous.
But advanced inheritance, business startup costs, private school tuition. Ah. You mentioned at the last one, a down payment or helping buy your son or kid uh-huh. buy their first house or whatever. Also, great divorce settlement. Not the pot. You know, I don't talk about that a lot.
And my kids are laughing right now when they watch this. My dad never helped me.
Mine didn't either. Well, I had nine siblings. Believe me, I didn't even think about asking them.
No.
All right.
Wait, what about this right here? Great divorce settlement. What does that mean?
Well, people get divorced, and they had that great house they lived in, and they both loved, and there's two options. I'll get to a little bit more. They can do one of two things. One can get a reverse mortgage, stay in the house, get a reverse mortgage, you know, and get the extra cash and pay off the other, because you got to, you know, pay them your half.
Good point.
Otherwise, another way is they both move from the house, and they both get several hundred thousand dollars or whatever, and they use that money to buy a new house with the reverse mortgage, which we talked about a little last time, and we'll talk about some more kind of before we get into the appendices.
Okay.
So that's how that works. All right, let's keep going here. New question. What happens if right after they start, they decide they have to delay commencement of Social Security for a couple of years at $1,200 bucks a month? They're going to do that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
All right. 15 years later, one of the spouse dies. And now, because of some income is lost, they have a $900 shortfall. So now mm-hmm. they got to say, oh, I need $900 for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what if 21 years, 6 years after this, that surviving spouse is still in the house? Mm-hmm. If they're in a nursing home and nobody's living in the house, then the reverse mortgage has to be closed out. But assuming he or she, and it's usually a she, wants to stay in the house and have help come in, and it costs $50,000 a year. What if all that needed to be done? And this graphic, for folks listening, I just show a graphic of over time from what age. Well, I'm not going to talk about the age, but for like 25 years, and you can see it graphically, a little bit at the beginning, then the $900, and then finally the $50,000 a year. But that's not the important one. This is the one. I apologize for the amateur look of this one, but I'm not a PowerPoint guy.
Yeah.
But what I want to point out, and you can see this, Troy, is after all this is done, all those things I just told you about, 1,200 bucks for the Social Security for 2 years, 15 years later, replaced $900 spouse income. And then I forgot what I just said, whatever number of years it was, that we got four years at $50,000. There's still money left. And it started with $99,000. That's why I wanted you to remember that number. After all of those things, you know, man, just the last one is $200,000, 4 years at $50,000. And then I didn't want to deal with my head. This is $300,000-$400,000 that they got benefit out of that. Is that worth it? You know, I don't know. I mean, again, you have to decide. You know, you think I'm not gonna get sick. Here's another option, which I don't personally like, but it's anybody they can choose to. What if the borrower's at the outset said, I don't forget the line of credit. I don't want a big chunk at the beginning. Send me the most I can get for the rest of my life, all the way up to age 150. Well, if they do that and they live to 150, they won. Probably in more ways than just a reverse mortgage. But they would end up getting more money. But there's a pretty good chance they're not going to live, and they're really not going to get, if they got that, they would not, there's no line of credit, there's no growing line of credit. All those things we just talked about, the $50,000 and all that, they got none of that. They got that. So it's kind of a loser, in my opinion. So if folks want some income, I say, well, let's just set that up for a couple, 3 years, and keep the rest of the line of credit so it keeps growing. That's getting into particulars, but it's okay. That's what that plot says about living to 150. Another scenario, instead of being mortgage-free, which I showed in this case to make it a whole lot simpler. Otherwise, it'd really be complicated to look at. But let's say they had a $65,000 mortgage, which had to be paid off. Well, everything else we talked about, the line of credit and all that kind of stuff, now the numbers wouldn't be as good because they wouldn't have 4 years at $50,000 and so on. You'd have to subtract $65,000 from the line of credit and increase the loan by $65,000 at the outset. So your loan is much bigger, your line of credit is much smaller. Everything else is the same. And remember, don't even think about just this, no matter what kind of numbers you're talking about, $600,000 house, 67-year-old, it's all different. So don't ever assume, like, well, that won't work for us. It just might. Call somebody. And here's one more thing I want to just mention. Let's say folks did have a mortgage, and they paid it off. You have to pay it off at closing. They have different options. You know, you are not required to make monthly mortgage payments to a HECM, but you can. Now, if it's some folks that had been pretty comfortable paying $842 or whatever it is a month, and the reason they got the reverse mortgage is because they're kind of fearful that, you know, what if something happens and we can't make the payments, we might lose our house. So they did this, but they can still actually, the budget says, I can still write a check for $842. They can write that to the HECM, but they can get all of it back next week if they wanted to. It's very flexible. Pretty smart thing to do. And I should always point out, as I tried to last time, I'm not a financial planner. I don't know that actually is the best thing for them to do. My job is to show them that is an option.
Yeah, right.
They and the financial planner, well, maybe we should send that money to from financial product. I don't know. That's not my ball game. So here's another graphic that kind of shows what happens. And you can see here, this is take a close look at this, folks, if you can see this. Because I'm showing three different options here of just never paying. That's this one. Another one of where you pay just the amount of the growth. And the last one is where you say, I'm going to keep making the payments I was making before. And look what happens. The loan gets down to nothing, practically, after I don't know how many years. Again, concepts. Forget the actual numbers. And the line of credit is pretty doggone big. So that's another option. You got rid of the mortgage. You sleep better. But you can make those payments, and the money you can get back next week. It's unlike a forward mortgage, a regular one. You make the payments, you make double payments, but you don't get it back.
Right.
Okay, so is that worth it? I don't know, it's up to the borrower. This is actually a flyer from a flyer that I created. It's called, What in the World Are Ill-Suited Quarters? I won't read it, but you can think of reasons why, you know, the house is too big, the house is too small, too far from the kids, it's upstairs, we don't go upstairs, you name it. It's not suitable, and again, the bathroom's too small, and we gotta have the 150-pound person come in and take care of a 175-pound person. Doesn't work in any of my bathrooms. Those kinds of things. And you're probably more than I didn't even think of here.
Yeah. Well, because we get in there and rehab them all the time over the years. And I mean, just for instance, even just you're being able to get your wheelchair into the bathroom.
That's right. I mean,
you might have to reduce some doors.
And maybe you can't do that.
Remodeling.
Maybe it's totally unfeasible to do that. And maybe if you got to go to that trouble anyway, why don't we just move closer to the kids? I mean, there's reasons why folks should move. Mm-hmm. We have 3 million people in our, you know that, roughly, in our population. And I bet you there's thousands and thousands of seniors that are living in what I call ill-suited quarters.
You know, I hate to say this, Rick, and it's a cheap plug for me.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of hoping there are that many people because we're starting to build senior citizen complexes. And I got a group of investors back together, and we're going to start building them. Well, so because just of what you're talking about.
And that's okay.
So
that's
I'm going to share this with the seniors so they can see how they can make this happen for them. So I can see how we can work together.
Now, let me ask you this. These complexes you're talking about, they're like villas and that sort of thing?
Yeah, right.
Oh, so they're single family homes.
Yeah, they'll be single family connect, you know.
Yeah, that's okay. They're still single family, whether there's you know, 5 of them next to each other.
Right.
That's perfect. That is great. Because it's ideal, and it's close to the kids or far away from the kids, whatever their choice happens to be. So anyway, so there's a bunch of them out there. So what I like to say is that, you know, those seniors think, again, we're not going to buy a house. We're not going to get a mortgage because they don't know about reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get ourselves wrapped up in monthly payments. We're done with that. They don't know that you can use a reverse mortgage to buy, to make a purchase.
I guarantee you this, I'm going to be sharing this show and your blogs that you're going to be sending over, you know, and finish and continue an education so they can see this, how this is an opportunity. I say this is a great deal.
I know. And we've been working, this has been available since 2009. Yeah. And we have failed, our industry have failed to making even a scratch.
You mean Tom Selleck didn't pull the load?
No, I don't think he did.
He makes a great cowboy, but he needs to learn a little bit. I guess when you're as rich as Tom, you don't need a reverse mortgage.
I'm surprised he's doing that because he makes a little. I don't think they're paying him very much.
I think he's just trying to help people. He's an awesome guy.
He is a good guy. I like him. Anyway, so here's a picture. So folks, I wrote this down. They're going to sell their current home. Wherever it is, big old house. You can see a picture here for the folks that are just listening. The bigger house, big giant house they're going to sell, and they're going to net $600,000. I have to make up figures to make that happen. They sold it for $750,000. Mm-hmm. They had $50,000 in costs. I have no idea what they were. And they had a mortgage of $100,000 to pay off. I think that's what I said. And they're going to buy something for $400,000. You can see it's smaller. Maybe, again, it looks like in the same area to me, but who knows? It should be an area where they like, okay? Here's the impact. Now, folks, again, you folks watching this, you can settle down and pause for a minute and study it. But anyway, they sell the home for $750,000, pay off $100,000 mortgage, $50,000 of the closing fees. They now have $600,000. And they're kind of sitting out on the front on the curb, dangling their legs, but they don't have a house. They just sold their house. By the way, we're trying to figure out ways to make that happen where they don't have to sit on the curb and dangle. Mm-hmm. They can actually make a nice, smooth transition. So anyway, they have $600,000. Well, they just purchased the other house for $400,000. And with reverse mortgage kicking in $150,000, they had to come up with $250,000 out of their what they netted, $600,000. So they now have $350,000 in cash. And they're living in their new house, which is perfect for them.
Yeah.
And again, close to the kids or whatever it is. And again, I look, just in case you forgot, down at the bottom of this slide, I've got the blue and the red that says these numbers.
Disclaimers.
Don't take them to the bank.
Right.
All right. So that, I mean, if you let me, I can stay here all afternoon and show you more examples. I just wanted to get you a flavor.
Yeah, right. No, and that's why these blogs are going to help and continue educating the people. And you're going to give them their contact so they can contact you.
That's right.
Because their particular situation is unique.
And everyone's unique. Mm-hmm. So let me go down and see what you're interested in here. Nobody's has appendices in PowerPoints. I'm the first one to ever do that. I couldn't come up with a better term. All right, so here, let's go down to here. This is just listening. Listen to the ones that are there. This is sampling potential uses. We already just talked about that a few minutes ago. Some people might say, now, wait a minute. You told us that the age had something to do with the amount of proceeds. If you're 62, the proceeds available to you are going to be far less than for somebody that's 85 or 90. And the reason is because every reverse mortgage is designed, I said this last time, I think, so that it does not go upside down within the lifetime, expected lifetime of the borrower, according to the actuaries. But we don't look at health. We don't look at gender, believe it or not. People are saying, okay, so if I get more when I'm 85 than when I'm 62, why don't I wait to get this? Which is a reasonable question. But there's a guy named Wade Fowle. He's one of the, right, his name right there. He's one of the top financial planners in the country. He's a big fan of reverse mortgages. And this chart, which I won't even show the numbers, basically shows that when you figure in all the things like houses worth this now in X number of years with a certain appreciation, it'll be worth more and more and more. I'll get older. And here's the number that I'd get a reverse mortgage 12 years down the road or 10 years down the road. But if I'd got it at the outset and had a line of credit, and that line of credit grew, and you compare what it grew to if you'd got it back at 62 mm-hmm. to what I could get if I get it at 82, you lost. Mm-hmm. You should have done it at 62. Now, that's maybe extra dramatic, I don't know. But that's just a thing to think about. Reasons to move sooner, forward sooner rather than later, despite the numbers I just showed you, things like interest rates could increase. They did recently. If they increase, home sales typically decrease, as well as home values, because if the value is down, it decreases the proceeds. Market downturns could occur at any time, meaning your stock market. Mm-hmm. You might need that. One of those benefits, I did this very, very clearly, but if you have a nice line of credit and the stock market starts to go down and you don't want to keep taking from your 401k or whatever you have, well, if you haven't done this already, you screwed yourself, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Long-term care expenses could hit you anytime.
Yeah.
FHA could reduce the proceeds by changing the formula.
And I expect that they probably very well might.
In a minute, I'll show you what they've done in the past. And the entire program could be eliminated, just like that.
I got a quick question. And so you're saying that it's a better opportunity if we're 62 versus 82 or something like that. Well, how young can I be to get a reverse mortgage?
62, at least one in a couple.
You have to be at least 62.
Yeah, okay. Heck of. Now, there's this proprietary things. You get it like 55, okay. But their interest rates are much higher than for bigger houses, and we're not talking about them in this presentation. We're talking about the heck of.
Okay.
Some people might say, why don't I just get one of those HELOCs, home equity line of credit, that all the banks are advertising all the time.
Mm, right.
Which seniors are qualified for, but so are younger folks. The younger folks are not qualified for this. But the things about the HELOCs is you can get them. You have to get approved for a certain amount. You get $40,000, $50,000. You start taking it. Next month, you start making a payment.
Right.
After 10 years, you can no longer take any. It has to be what we call recast. They'll say, okay, you got it up to $38,000. You either have to get a new one or leave that one in place, but no more taking. Now it's giving. You have to start paying it back at like amortized over 20 years, something like that. So it's not that cool, actually. Quickly, FHA HECM guarantees. All the unbelievable, I told you stuff about the lady started with the $99,000 and did all those things. You might, if I were just looking at this, I'd say, well, how does FHA do this? And all they have is that fund, right? Well, they've done things to protect themselves over the year. And these are the things that the guarantees were already I'll skip them. But here's the things they've done. They've adjusted the factors. I mean, that three-digit thing, that 0.326, or point, right. They made it smaller for the same age. Just like that. Starting next year,
it makes sense why they would, too.
They have to. Making appropriate provisions for non-borrowing spouses. They did this, but to get a lot of non-borrowing spouses, they were able to change the table, so we went all the way down to 18. Okay? Tightening appraisal regulations, they did that. Initiating a 60% rule, I'll tell you about in a minute. Instituting financial assessment in 2015 to dramatically reduce the number of foreclosures, okay? Which it did. That was in 2015, and it really, really has helped. The 60% rule, we'll talk about in a second. What are qualifying requirements for HECM? We talked about that last time, 62, you got a primary residence, must have sufficient equity, at least to pay off a mortgage. Must be eligible type, single family, FHA, condo, multifamily, four units, some manufactured homes. We'll get into details if you call. And HECM borrowers must pass that financial assessment that we just talked about.
I should have waited to ask the question, how old you ought to be, because you've told me several times, and then I see it right there. So I jumped the gun, folks. Sorry. Okay. Hey, that's what happens when you get old. You just forget.
What seniors are good candidates? Well, the seniors that have faced all those things we talked about.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll skip over. Again. Folks, you can see it. You can get that if you're watching this, you can freeze it, frame it. Those listening, just we talked about them before. I put in a couple slides here about the financial planning community. There's a bunch of top guys. I won't name their names. They've been got on board since 2012 when the first guys actually started looking at this and this line of credit and say, wait a minute, that's pretty cool. Nobody even thought about it before 2012. But since then, it's a lot of folks that got on board.
Good.
Here's a similar one from my friend Wade Fowle. Let's see. This is a little history here. Again, it's not worth reading the whole thing for the listeners. And again, since I keep saying that, if you're listening to this, and you're going back to the version one as well, see if you can work in watching it.
Yeah, and I should say this too, because if you're on listening to this as a podcast only, you can find this same show on YouTube or Rumble. So you can, we got, that's where you can find the video if you're listening to it. So,
try, you know, get a pizza or something and set up in the kitchen and watch it.
Yeah, have the in-laws come over, and that way it'll get rid of them real quick when you start showing them all these numbers.
That's right, that's right. I never thought about that. Okay, so anyway, the financial, they've kind of got on board. I will say this to the financial planners listening, a guy named Wade Fowle, highly regarded. He wrote a book, whole book on reverse mortgage.
Good to know.
He started off as a chapter in another book until he got into it. He said, holy moly, I got to write a whole book. This is the third edition. I'll send that. If any financial planner contacts me, I'll send them a free copy.
Okay, that's good to know, folks. There's a bonus right there.
Okay, what is FHA's 60% year one proceeds limitation? For too long, and I mean for years until about 3, 4, 5 years ago at the most, too many loan officers were talking too many seniors into taking too much too soon.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to. Again, they could take nothing at the outset, just leave the whole thing in the line of credit, which is what they should do, unless they actually do have to get an income, you know, $500 a month. It's okay. If they're going to, you know, buy a car in 8 months, don't take that lump sum at day one. Wait till 8 months. Otherwise, and you told me last time about some 8% checking account stuff. You got to tell me more about that offline.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that. But anyway, my point is they're taking too much too soon. So they put in a rule, FHA did, and I told you the last time, I think it saved the industry, that limited borrowers to taking 60% of that principal limit, which is that first number we talked about earlier, at the outset. Then on day 366, day one of year two, they could take the rest. That saved the industry, in my opinion. So because people weren't doing that. And it was, you know, it was really, I mean, everybody was taking it all. Man, we got a lot of stuff to, FHA had a lot of stuff to cover.
Yeah.
So I think that was great. How adjustable rate mortgages work? They work like forward ones. They have two elements, a fixed margin called and a variable percentage. They're all, that's the same as adjustable. And I'm not going to read all these. They're pretty boring. If you have if you're watching it, you can look, freeze it. I just make the last comment that is borrowers with large loan balances. All right, here, let's see here. There we go. With large loan balances favor lower rates. But guess what? If you have almost no loan balance because you didn't have anything to pay off, you just set it up. The higher the rate, the better, because that's the line of credit that's growing.
Ah, yeah, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that
makes sense.
And even if it doesn't, I'll explain it. Okay, what's the story with non-borrowing spouses? Typically, non-borrowing spouses are too young to qualify and can be as young as 18. And this is, I mean, before this, we'd have no non-borrowing spouses before 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you're under 62, sorry. If you know, the husband was 64 and he got it, but the wife was under that and they got the reverse mortgage. When the husband died, it had to be settled up, typically meaning that the surviving wife, had to sell the house or somehow come with the money. Well, that's changed several years ago. But non-borrowing spouses could be co-owners. But if they're under 18, they are not borrowers. But if the husband or the borrowing spouse dies, the surviving spouse can still stay there till age 150 as long as they pay the taxes, keep it insured, fix the hole in the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't have any benefits of the reverse mortgage. If there's a line of credit, gone just like that.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Oh, yeah, and it's my job to tell them.
Yeah.
But and that's why I said in the previous one, if somebody came to me and said, well, my wife's 60 and a half, and I'm 62, I want to get it. I said, don't do it. Wait till she's 62, unless mm-hmm. you are desperate and have to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. That's good knowledge. That's good information.
I've turned some people away. Oh, how about Great Divorce? Well, we kind of talked about this. There are at least a couple different ways. One stays in the house and buys out the other one with the reverse mortgage funds, or they split it and they both get reverse mortgages. The only thing I'll say, I've had adjustable rate and fixed rates. The one thing I say here, because of because of two rules about fixed rates. And with the fixed rate, you have to take whatever's available to you on day one, mm-hmm. period. There's no adjustable. You can't take it later when it's rates are 10%, but we said it was 5% when you get it. The industry can't do that. So that's one rule. You have to take it all. Then the 60% rule on top of that means what you can take is not a whole lot smaller than you can with the adjustable rate overall. You got to take 60%. So there's a lot less made available to you. Mm-hmm. And that's why most people don't choose the fixed rate. And finally, expanded HECM overview. That's just a couple more statements that we've talked about already. So the only other thing that I would mind doing, if we have a little bit of time, just a little bit, or just because, you know, I know some people think, well, old Aunt Agnes, she's in tough shape, she needs this, but I don't think anybody else does. Here's some house values that I did last year. 600,000, 770,000. I'm working on one now, 6 million, believe it or not. That's kind of interesting. I did a purchase, we call H4P, for 345,000. I got another one here, 325, another one, 800,000. So it's not just people with $65,000, $75,000, $100,000 houses. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's harder to do for them, usually. And here are a couple things. One, the $600,000 was a widow, and they didn't have a will for some reason, odd. But the son-in-law, and she had two daughters. I should take that back. Her deceased spouse had two daughters. They were second marriages for both of them, I think. But those two were married for a long time. And they didn't have a will, but one of the son-in-laws was a probate attorney. And somehow or other, he came to me and he said, we tried different options. Because what we know that she would have been in a will had she written a will, was she wanted to give 25% of her half to her surviving spouse and split the other two between the daughters. Well, that was complicated, but we managed to do it. And the details aren't that important, but it was pretty cool. I told you about the divorce. So, mm-hmm. This is the $6 million one. This is out in California. And this, the financial planners called me and said, this lady has every year calls us and says, write a check for $50,000 to some charity. And next year, she says, write $100,000 to this other charity. And they've been doing that for years, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
But they're afraid, and I mean, her numbers are all big, but they said, we need to slow her down, or she's going to run out of money in a few years. So that's what we're working on right now. I think that's one of the cooler ones.
Yeah, that is.
Other than that, I'll tell you one more that's kind of interesting. Some folks live in a house. They bought a $100,000 RV, and I forget what the payments are. but they want to get a reverse mortgage so they can get rid of the payments on their loan for the RV. How about that?
You know, that... I'm glad you saved that one to the end, because that is a lot of seniors are doing just that.
I know.
That's a great idea.
I'll never do that.
Well, I probably won't either, but I do have, I've had friends that definitely have done that, and it makes great sense. I have a lot of friends, actually.
My sister and brother all do that all the time. But not for me. Not for me.
Well, no, probably not for me, but that doesn't mean it's not a great idea.
Right.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And folks, I want you to, now we're going to wrap this show up here a little bit, but I want you to, I promised you I was going to share this, give you a bonus here at the end. So what I would like for you to do, if you would, besides hit like and subscribe, if you're watching YouTube or Rumble, that would really help us get to promote this show and get more people to watch it. But what I would like for you to do is the Construction Consumer Advocacy Institute, which actually will be have this out there. So I want you to, if you come and you subscribe right now, we're not charging anything. We're brand new. We're growing. I will send you a brand new book, ebook of this right here, How to Hire Contractors. And Rick has promised that he will give us some several more blogs. So you're going to get a whole bunch more information than just this. And you got his phone number. You got his information right here. So, hey, he offered, pick his brain. And you could tell he loves it. So he's got a passion for it. But just be prepared. You're going to get a lot of great information. So bring a pen and paper, because there's a more here than the brain just can't absorb it all. But 22 years of experience, 22, is that right? 25, 22?
And if I can come to their kitchen table, that's great.
Well, that'd be awesome. And but if you're around the country, he's not going to come to your kitchen table. But hey, that's what cell phones are for. You can give him a holler, and he'll help you out.
Zoom calls and stuff.
Zoom calls. There you go. There you go.
COVID forced me.
And he promised to financial advisors, if they reach out, he's got that book that he promised, and I'll let him talk more about that in one of his blogs. But thank you, folks, very much for watching our show today. We really appreciate you very, very much. And I always like to try, if I can, throw a cheap plug out there for my producer, Joey V. He's been working on it. You've been watching these About the Houses now for almost five years now. We're going into April, and we started this 5 years ago. Joey's been our producer all along. He's a great guy, and he tells me I'm not supposed to say anything, so I'm just trying to embarrass him, but I really appreciate him. And Rick, I appreciate you too, sir. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
So much.
You betcha.
And thank you for watching, folks. God bless you.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, GallowayBuildingServices.com.